brought to you by Penguin.
Exit, written by Belinda Bauer and read by Tim McInerney. Part 1. Chapter 1. The Job. The key was under the mat, as usual. Felix Pink found the predictability comforting, even if the predictable outcome was death.
"Here we go, then,"
said Chris, putting the key in the lock. Chris talked too much, but Felix never said anything about it. He imagined it was nerves. He himself had stopped being nervous a long time ago. Now he cleared his throat and adjusted his cuffs and followed his accomplice inside. The house smelled of the dust that coated the inside of pill bottles. They often did. They stood in the hallway and Chris called, "Hello?" There was no sound apart from a clock ticking somewhere. Not a real clock, Felix could tell, but some battery thing that ticked a small fake tick to make people think they were getting oldie-worldy value for money. He noticed a piece of paper on the third stair, folded into a little tent, like a place card at a wedding. Upstairs. He picked it up and showed it to Chris, who started up the stairs. Felix took a moment to fold the paper several times and put it in his briefcase. Then he gripped the banister. He was naturally cautious, but when there was a job to be done, it became a conscious effort. Chris was waiting for him on the landing.
"Hello?"
"Hello?"
The answer was small and weak. In the big front bedroom, there was a man in bed. He was propped upright by pillows and facing the bay window, which revealed a view of a similar window across the road.
"Rufus Collins," said Felix.
The man in the bed nodded weakly.
"I'm John, and this is Chris."
Mr. Collins nodded again as if he knew why they were there, and then closed his eyes. Felix had chosen the name John because he thought it sounded competent. Margaret had had a doctor called John Tolworth who had seemed competent for quite a long time. It wasn't his fault that he'd been beaten by death. In the end, it beat them all. He didn't know Chris's real name. It was for the best. There was a chair beside the bed, and Felix sat in it and put his briefcase on the floor beside him. There was no room on the nightstand, what with all the pills and tissues. The cylinder was already there, dull grey metal like a little aqualung, attached by a length of clear tubing to a plastic face mask that lay under the man's chin. A tired-looking piece of elastic looped from the mask around the back of his neck and over his ears, making them fold down a little. One bony hand covered the mask protectively, as if someone might steal it.
"I'll get another chair," said Chris,
and left the room. Felix looked down at Mr. Collins. He was old, but probably no older than he was, which was 75. But this man was sick, and that made all the difference, and he looked 100. His yellowy skin so stretched across his cheeks and brow that it looked ready to split. His breath rattled in his throat as if he needed to cough, but just didn't have the strength. Chris puffed in with a small wooden armchair and put it down at the other side of the bed with a loud clump. Mr. Collins's eyes opened and his hand clutched at the mask.
"Sorry," said Chris.
The sick man closed his eyes again. And then they waited. The house was so quiet that Felix could hear the clock fake ticking downstairs. Now and then cars shushed by outside and Mr. Collins breathed. Every breath was different from the one before, as if he was discovering breathing each time anew and trying to work out which way was best. Some breaths were short and gaspy, some long and wheezy. The little rattle was the only constant. Felix folded his hands in his lap like a...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?